Okay, today's daf is Shavuos Daf Lamates. We read the Mishnah in the beginning of Shavuos Hadayanim yesterday, and basically we are this parak is going to be focusing on the Shavuos Hadayanim of Shavuos Modeh B'Mikzas. But first, we're just going to focus on the general concept of a dayan imposing a shvua on another person. So, frankly, Gemara Hechi Mashbein Alei. How exactly do they make the shvua? How does the shvua go? Amar Rav Yudah Marav Mashbein also b'shvua Amur B'Torah. They make him swear. They impose a shvua on him with the shvua ha'amur b'Torah, with the shvua that it says in the Torah, d'chsiv ha'shbiacha b'Hashem Elokei HaShemayim. The Pasuk says that I hereby make you swear by the name of Hashem Elokei HaShemayim. This is, of course, by Avram Avinu, that he makes Eliezer swear that he's not going to take an isha l'bni mibnos ha'kanani yashar nochi yashem b'kirbo. Rather, he's going to go to his family and he's going to take from there. So Amar Ravina l'Ravashi, so Ravina says Ravashi, keman, who is this assuming like? Krebi chanina baridi damar bin and shem ha'miyuch. So when we ask, how do they make the Shmua? We say, oh, by Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, that's how you make the Shmua. That's what Shmua Amur B'Torah means. That's assuming, like Rabbi Chanin Baridi, who says that, yeah, when you take a Shmua, you need to use Shem HaMiyuchad. That's part of the way that a Shmua is imposed. Armalei Afil Temer Rabbani says, no, maybe when we said Shmua Amur B'Torah, we didn't mean the Shem HaMiyuchad part. That's not what we were focusing on. But rather, Afil Temer Rabbanan Damer B'Kinoi. We could even be assuming like the Rabbanan, that the Shem that we use is only a kinoy, that we don't use the Shema Miyuchad. No, when we say that you quote the pasuk of Eliezer Eved Avram, and we want to use that as the prototype of the Shvua, it's not the Shema Miyuchad part that we're focused on, it's the fact that there was Nikitas Chefetz, that since he was Nakat Chefetz B'Yadei, so what we would do Nikitas Chefetz, the Gemara is about to explain, is hold a Sefer Torah or something like that when we take a Shvua. Eliezer Eved Avram was Simna Yad Chatachis Yirechi, that he holds on to the Bris Mila. If you look at Rashi, Latfusei Chefza, Ka'amar O Sefer O Tfilin Kavram Da Adfisei Eliezer Bris Mila. That's in that way the Shvua that Avram was Mashpia Eliezer serves as a model for our Shvua, that there was Nikitas Chefetz. Now, Frakt Tosvos, Latfusei Chefza B'Yadei, says Tema. If this is a characteristic, not of Shavuos Hadayanim per se, but of a Shavua that's being imposed by somebody else on you, so then this idea of Nikitas Chefetz should not be limited. The idea of Nikitas Chefetz should not be limited only to Shavuos HaDayanim. It should also apply by Shavuos HaEdos, by Shavuos HaPikadon, when someone else is being mashbiah you. So it says in the margin over there to take a look at the Rush Sof Simen Aleph that he has a teretz for this. So the Rush in fact asks this kasha, Maishan Drabanan Yalfi Mehasam Lechatzayin. Why is the Shavuos Drabanan we don't have the full limud that they should? Why is it that the Rush asks? Why is it that the Rabbanan who don't hold of the of both elements of the pasuk, they don't hold of using the Shem HaMiyuchad plus Nikitas Chefetz? Why would they only use the pasuk as half a model? Why not use the pasuk as a full model and learn out not only Nikitas Chefetz, but also they should learn out from the pasuk the idea that you need the Shem HaMiyuchad? So says the Rashi, Yishlom Rabbanan Savri Kivin Dechsiv Elkei HaShemayim Hainu Nami Kinui. The pasuk doesn't just say the Shem Hashem. Pasuk says Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, and that's to tell you that you have options. You can take a shvua b'Shem Hashem, or you can take a shvua b'Elokei HaShemayim, and Elokei HaShemayim is just a kinui. Inami, or another possible answer, and this is the one that's more important to this Tosfos. Hadbin and Kutei Chefza Lavdi Alfin Mehasam. We don't really learn Nikitas Chefetz from there. Elas Smachta B'Almehi V'Takanas Chachamim Lahatil Ema Ala Nishba. It's only Takanas Chachamim. The pasuk by Eliezer and Avram is only an Asmachta. It's really a pure Takanas Chachamim to impose fear on the person who's taking the Shvua. L'chein Nos No Sefer Torah Chefetz Shal Mitzvah Bezro U'Shliach Bezin Mashpiyah B'Shem U'B'Kinoi U'Lahai. And according to that answer, it works out very well. Why you don't need a Nikitas Chefetz by the other types of Shavuos that someone else is imposing on you? Because it's not really derived from the Pasuk. If it was derived from the Pasuk, because after all, Eliezer Eved Avram is not really a Shavuos HaDayanim. He was promising to do something. So it's more of a Shavuos Bitui. So why is it that we don't say that you need a Nikita Schefetz by a Shavuos Bitui based on the Pasuk of Eliezer Eved Avram? Because nothing is really based on the Pasuk of Eliezer Eved Avram. It's just an Asmachta. So since it's only an Asmachta, the real thing is a Din to Rabbanan. So that leads into an entire discussion about how Asmachta works. Who is it? Someone has a major essay. I think Rav Yosef Engel somewhere has a major essay on Asmachta. Then he suggests that there's a difference between Asmachta and Asmachta bi'alma, that those are two different phrases, that one is much stronger than the other. There's Machlokas, Rambam and the Ritva, whether Asmachta is really something that the Torah intended with that Pasuk and it was just giving a clue to the Rabbanan to make the din, or it's just purely just a mnemonic. So Rav Yosef Engel says they're both right. It depends whether it's Asmachta or Asmachta bi'alma. If it's Asmachta, then the Torah really intended it. Asmachta bi'alma isn't really something that's intended by the Torah. It's just the Rabbanan using it as a mnemonic. Okay, anyway, says Gemara Vayter. Kedirava dam rava haydayana deshava ba'ashem elokei ha'shamayim nasa kamisha tabit var mishnah l'chozer. This idea that you need to do Nikitas Chayfetz is in line with Rava, because Rava says that if a dayan is mashbia someone ba'ashem elokei ha'shamayim, but he neglects to do a Nikitas Chayfetz, so it's as if he was tabit var mishnah, it's as if he made an obvious error, and his judgment is invalid because he made an obvious error. Now, normally, Tabit Var Mishnah requires that there be a Mishnah that says otherwise. Over here, there is no Mishnah that says you need Nikitas Chayfetz. So if you look at Rashi, he says, Dishav v'Hashem elokei shamayim v'lo tfisu chayfetz nase ketobit var Mishnah v'yavagav d'lo tanan la b'mishnah shmait d'ravi v'arei k'dvar Mishnah. So right away, you see from Rashi a very important yesod. Tabit Var Mishnah does not have to be a Mishnah. It could even be something that's a very well-known teaching of the Amoraim. K'damrin b'Sanhedrin, da toh b'dvar Amoraim, chozer v'lo amin masha asa asu v'yishal mibeso. That a toh b'dvar Amoraim could also be a toh b'dvar Mishnah. Nowadays, if your toah based on something that's explicit in Shulchan Aruch, if a dayan makes a judgment and he misses something that's explicit in Shulchan Aruch, so that likely is also, the poskim say, a toah b'dvar Mishnah. Anything that's a basic body of knowledge that you should have before judging this kind of case, that's called the Toa B'dvar Mishnah. Anything that's black on white, it's a basic thing that you should... Look, I don't know that the Sri Deish or something, you know, Rav Moshe or whatever, has a tshuva on this topic. Okay, that's not a Toa B'dvar Mishnah. You're not achray to know every tshuva in the Achronim. But the basic, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that would be a Toa B'dvar Mishnah. Vam Rav Papa, Haydayana Dishava B'tfilin, Nasa Kamisha Toa B'dvar Mishnah V'chozer. Someone who takes who's mashbiya somebody with tefillin, it's as if he was Toa B'dvar Mishnah, and your chozer, because you're supposed to use the Sefer Torah. So says Mar Vilchsa Kavased Rava, we paskin like Rava that if you don't do any Nikita Schefetz, it's bad, and it's a Toh B'dvar Mishnah. V'les Vilchsa Kavased Rav Papa, but we don't paskin like Rav Papa that using tefillin is a Toh B'dvar Mishnah. Hilchsa Kavased Rava Dolo Nachud Chefetz B'yadeh. The Allah is like Rava because, after all, you didn't do Nikita Schefetz, that's a Toh B'dvar Mishnah. V'les Vilchsa Kavased Rav Papa Nachud Chefetz B'yadeh. But we're not going to pass like Rav Papa, because as long as you have Nikitas Chayfetz, as long as you have something, so that's going to be good enough. We're not going to say it's a Toh B'dvar Mishnah. If you look at Tosos says, what do you mean? What could be the problem with being Mashbiyah with Tefillin? The very source of Nikitas Chayfetz is Avram and Eliezer. Eliezer was he didn't take Sefer Torah. He had Avram Avinu's Bris Milah. So you see that even just holding on to something that's a chefsa shel mitzvah is good enough. So why would you have a havamina that tefillin is not good enough? So it says v'yavul gav sheshbi Avram es Eliezer b'mila ha'amin b'samach the Talmud Chacham l'chadchila b'tefillin. He says, yeah, that's different, because Eliezer was a Talmud Chacham, and a Talmud Chacham is allowed to hold tefillin as his Nikitas Chayfetz. So if he could hold tefillin mistama, he can hold the mila as well. So that's answer number one. Inami kivan da adayin lo nistava yoser havik sefer Torah l'gabayu. Very profound answer, Tosa says, that since they didn't have any other mitzvah, that's all Avraham Avinu really had, was Bris Milah, that was his Sefer Torah. So, meaning, why do we hold the Sefer Torah? Because that represents everything. Well, this was his everything. His Bris Milah, that was it. That was the only mitzvah he had. So, but nowadays, when the meaning of Milah, now it's one of 613. Now it's no longer the only mitzvah, and therefore it would no longer be sufficient to hold on to a bris milah or to tefillin for that matter, because it's just one of many mitzvahs. It reminds me a little bit of Rav Moshe's tshuva about about giving your children secular names, non-Jewish names, where Rav Moshe says, "Yeah, it's mutter. There's nothing wrong," and he gives you a whole list of tanaim and amoraim who had secular names. So or Rishonim, whatever. So what was the Magen Mishnah's name? Vidal, I think, was the Magen Mishnah's name. And a whole bunch of our history is full of great people who had secular names. So it's not necessarily skula that your kid's going to be a secular person just because you give him a secular name. Skula, he'll change it when he goes to Israel, but not that he'll become a secular person. But anyway, so Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva, what about the famous Medrash that says that Klal Yisrael was only zochah to get out of Mitzrayim because Shloshinu or Shemam, they didn't change their names? So he says, yeah, because what was the whole point in Mitzrayim? Just to keep a sense of Jewish identity. We didn't have any mitzvahs to maintain a sense of Jewish identity with, so our names were very important to maintain a sense of Jewish identity. But nowadays we have mitzvahs, so the mitzvahs are a sense of Jewish identity. So the names don't matter that much. So in a time when there was nothing else, yeah, then it matters a lot. Now that there's plenty of other things, so it matters a lot less. A similar idea over here. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, one more thing. This idea, the idea that you could hold on to the Ritva has a possibility that you can even hold on to Tzitzis. Now, what's my nafkamina? Tefillin and Tzitzis, it's all the same. You're holding on to a Chefza Shal Mitzvah. But then the Ritva says, no, that's not so. So, what's the issue? If you hold Tefillin, what would be different between Tzitzis and Tefillin? So, the Lashon that the Rishonim use is that there's a difference between Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Mitzvah. Tashmishe Kedusha you can hold on to when you take a Shvuah, not Tashmishe Mitzvah. What exactly is the difference? Is the geder that defines the difference between Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Mitzvah? So Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, Simin Yud Beis, Oz Gimel, he says the chilek is as follows, that we know, the halacha, we know the difference. So Tashmishe Kedusha need to be nignazin, you need to put in shemos. Whereas Tashmishe Mitzvah don't need to be nignazin, you can throw it out, just throw it out in a respectful way. You wrap it up, and you can throw it in the garbage, wrapped up separately. So as long as, but that's the halachic difference. How do we define what gets put into the category of Tashmishe Kedusha, and what gets put in the category of Tashmishe Mitzvah? So says Rav Shechter, L'chara hayinir lomar, de'ikr shorosh v'yisod kol inyani Kedusha, the basis and foundation of all Kedusha, who Kedusha Sefer Torah. That's the Kedusha HaTorah. V'hainu time of the Sefer Torah, tefillin u'mezuzah mishum shein, dinei ketashmishe Kedusha. So he says, look on the list in the Gemara Megillah Daf Chavav. What's Tashmishe Kedusha? Tefillin, mezuzah, Sefer Torah, what do they all have in common? They all have actual ksav shel Torah. They have the writing of Torah. Shebukulim yeshvam Kedusha's ksav shel Torah. O shem mishamshim l'ksav shel Torah. Or at least they serve the ksav shel Torah, like the nartik shel Sefer Torah. Kiss shel tefillin. But what's Tashmishe Mitzvah? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, where there's no connection to ksav shel Torah. Anytime there's no connection to ksav shel Torah, mimeil it's going to be Tashmishe Mitzvah. That's what he wanted to suggest, that the Guf Yisrael, why is it that a Jewish body, Achamei V'Eshrim, gets buried, and a non-Jewish body, there's no mitzvah of kvura? So he wanted to suggest, because a Jew, it's the Torah is chakuk aluach libecha, it's engraved on our heart, so it's a ksav shel Torah. Whereas the non-Jewish person, yes, he's Tashmishe Mitzvah, he's chayv in mitzvos, he has sheva mitzvah, so he's certainly Tashmishe Mitzvah, but l'achar zman mitzvah son is rakin, it's not nignazin. So that's the basic chiluk between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. Says Gemara Vayter, Shvua mu'umad, you take a Shvua standing up. Talmud Chacham Yushav, but a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit down. Shvua b'sefer Torah, a Shvua should be taken while holding on to a Sefer Torah. Talmud Chacham l'chadchila b'tefillin. But a Talmud Chacham, even l'chadchila, is allowed to hold on to tefillin instead of a Sefer Torah. Tan Rabbanan, Shvus HaDayanim afi b'lashon ne'emra. Shvus HaDayanim also, even Shvus HaDayanim is said in any language that you understand. Kol Lashon Shu Mevin, Rashi says. The Lashon of afhi, even Shvus, as opposed to what? The Gemara is going to explain later on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We'll get to that soon. So Omrim Lo, they tell him before a man takes a Shavua. Now the Gemara is going to list five things that they tell him to scare him out of his wits, to make him realize that he's taking something that's very serious, and that a Shavua should not be taken lightly. So before he takes a Shavua, they tell him the following: Have the Yodea, number one, you should know Shekol Olam Kulon is Daza B'Shash Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Sinai Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav. That at the time that Kodesh Baruch Hu said Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav, the entire world shook. So this is a very, very serious issue. The Marsha writes, what does it mean the entire world shook? He says, Sheshmo Shel Yisbarach HaGadol Hu Kiyumo Shel Olam V'Yisodo. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what keeps the world going, and it is the foundation Shebo Bara HaOlamos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world based on. Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. And therefore, if you're Masi Shmo L'Shav, you're Matish Koach P'malia Shalmala. You break down this foundation, and therefore the world shakes as if it's on shaky ground, that the world isn't standing firmly anymore when you take a Shavua Shav, because the Shem Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu is critical. Number two, they tell them, by all other averes in the Torah, it says, if you do it, don't worry, you'll be cleansed of your sin. Over here it says, lo yinake, you're not going to be cleansed of your sin. Number three, they tell them, normally, all other averus in the Torah, if you do something wrong, they'll pay back from him. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him. Over here, not only him, his whole family. Don't cause your mouth by taking a shvua to be machti es besarcha. What does besarcha mean? Vein besar, well, the krovo. Basar means krovo. Shneimar besarcha lo tesalim means your relatives, as the pasuk says, mi besarcha lo tesalim, which means that you should give to your relatives. That when it comes to tzedakah, you have to give to your relatives before you give to others if you have relatives in need. Right? That's the idea of mi besarcha lo tesalim. Tosos over here points out that in the Gemara Masech Shabbos Lamed Beis, the Gemara learns from this pasuk of Mibsar Chalot Esalim that Ba'avon Nedarim Banim Mesim Kshen Katanim. Sorry, from the pasuk Altitin Espichal Lachti Es Besarcha, that which you say with your mouth is going to cause problem for Besarcha. The Gemara darshins that when you take Nedarim unnecessarily or you violate Nedarim, then Banim Mesim Kshen Katanim, then a person's children Rachmana Litzlan will die when they're young. But the implication is Avol Gedolim Lo, that your older children won't have an effect on, and Kol Shekein Mishpachto, and your family, the rest of your family, brothers, sisters, mother, father, wife, won't have an effect on. So Tosfos asks, well, which one is it? When it says Al Titan Espicha Lachti Es Besarcha, is Besarcha a reference to your entire family, or is it only a reference to very young children? So he says there's a chiluk between Nedarim and Shavuos. When it comes to Nedarim, it's only for the very young children. When it comes to Shavuos, Shavuos is more serious, and it's going to affect everybody. The Kalaver Shabbatar, the fourth thing they tell him, Kalaver Shabbatar in front of Mimenu Vikan Mimenu Mikala Olam Kulo. All other averes in the Torah person gets punished for over here. Here, not just him, the entire world gets punished for it. Shenemar, Allah v'kichesh, ve'ema ada avdu l'kulo. No, maybe when it says Allah v'kichesh in that pasuk, the pasuk first gives a list of averos that are involved. So maybe it means if you do all of those averos, not just shvua. Lo sal kedai t'chsiv, the pasuk says mipnei Allah avla ha'aretz, because of Allah avla ha'aretz. So you see that's the focus is on the Allah, which is a shvua. Uksiv al kein t'avel ha'aretz v'umlok liyosheba. And the fifth thing they tell him, kol averos shebetorim yeshel zechus tolin lo shnayim u'shlosh adoros. All other averos in the Torah, if you have some sort of zechus, you can be spared for a couple of generations before you get an extension, before you get the punishment. The kan in front mentally altered, but by a shvua, the payback is immediate. Shnemar tzisiyah num Hashem tzvakos ubal beis hagan vel beis hanishva b'shmi l'shakar v'lana b'toch beiso v'kalsu es eitzav es havanav. So we dash in the pasuk tzisiyah li alter. Hotzesia num Hashem, the pasuk starts out, means that it's right away. Ubal beis haganav, what's the beis haganav? Who's that referring to? Zehagonev das abrios. That's someone who's gonev das. Shein lomomen etzal chaveru v'toa no mashbio. Nobody owes you money, but you still make a taina on him to claim money from him and make him swear to make other people think, oh wow, he really was owed money, and look, the other guy swore falsely maybe, right? Everyone's going to start taking sides and think that maybe you really are owed money. So that that's Gnevas Das, Gonev Das Habrios. Vel Beis HaNishpa B'Shmil L'Shaker, what's that about? K'mashmo'o. That's what it sounds like it's about, swearing falsely. V'lana B'toch Beis HaVekalsa V'Haseitza V'Savanav, Halamadza Dvarim Shein Eishu Mayim M'Chalan Osan, Shvo Shekar M'Chalan Osan. Things that water can't damage and that fire can't damage, a Shvo Shekar can damage. That's how powerful a Shvo Shekar is, that it can do damage to things that physical destroyers can't do damage to. Marsha says, this is exactly what I was telling you before. The Marsha says, this is the line, this is the idea that Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker is messing around with the Shem Shel Kodesh Baruch, which is the Yesod Kala Olam. The Eish and Mayim are critical elements of the world, but they're not the foundation upon which the world is built. The Shem Hashem is the foundation upon which the world is built, so it's a more fundamental destruction when you hit the foundation than it is if you use some other tools to peck away at whatever is built on that foundation. So after we scare him with all this stuff, so if the guy says, okay, I'm not swearing, so Pozno Samiyad, so he walks out of Bezin, that's it, he's done. V'mamar Hareini, meaning he doesn't take the Shvua. V'mamar Hareini Nishpa, if he says, yeah, I'm going to swear anyway, I'm confident about this one. Ha'omdim Shom Omrim Zelvazed, the people standing there say, Suruna Me'al Ahalei Anashim Rasha'im E'ele, let's get away from these Anashim Rasha'im, as a way of saying, come on, you're not supposed to be taking the Shvua. Ukshmashbino Som, when they actually impose the Shvua on him, Omrim Lo, they tell him, Havi Odeya, you should know Shalal Daitcha, Anu Mashbino, that it's not on your das that we're being mashbiya you, it's the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the das of Beis Din. Because we find Moshe Rabbeinu did something similar. When he was mashbiya Klal Yisrael, he said to them, it's not on your own das I'm being mashbiya you, it's on the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and on my das. Moshe Rabbeinu representing the Beis Din. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deal with Klal Yisrael was not only with those standing at Har Sinai, but as Asher Yeshnapo, right, famous line of Sharon Enupo, it's with everybody. So from Asher Yeshnupo, it sounds like only the people who are actually there. How do I know that later generations and Gerim who would one day be Megayer, that they too are included? Tamalomar Vesa Shereinenu. That's why it says Vesa Shereinenu, that the deal is with even those that are in Enupo, that were not physically there. So I only know that we're bound by a Shavua for those mitzvahs that we were actually Mekabel at Har Sinai. What about those mitzvahs that only came later on, like Mikra Megillah? Tamalomar Kimu Vekiblu. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. That by the times of the Megillah, Kimu Vekiblu, they were Mekayim what they were already Mekabel previously, meaning that they renewed the vow, so to speak, at the Purim story. Now that's interesting. The Gemara gives the example of Mikra Megillah. What about later Dinim Drabanan? Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah. It's not even a Din Drabanan. Night it's Drabanan, but the daytime is Divrei Kabbalah. And Pashas, that's what we're talking about. The Mitzvah Divrei Kabbalah. So it leads to the impression that Drabanans are on a lower level in that they're not bound by the same Shavu. The only thing is, the Gemara never makes that chiluk explicitly. It's just the source that we are bound by the Shavuah came before, unless you want to say that by the Mikra Megillah, Kimu V'Kiblu is an overall statement of being Mekabel Ol Dinim D'Rabbanan, that those that we were bound by, it's the system of Dinim D'Rabbanan, that we were Mekabel, but that we could have been Mekabel at Har Sinai also, to accept the system of Dinim D'Rabbanan. Okay, so my af hi b'lashon enemra, what does it mean? Now we're going back to that strange phrase we had at the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Beis, where we said, yeah, a shvus hadayonim is af hi b'lashon enemra, that too is said in whatever language you want. So k'ditnan, what it's going on is the following Mishnah. Elu nemar b'kalashon, these are a list of the things that have to be said but could be said in any language. Parsha Sota, Vidoy Meiser, Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Birchas Hamazon, Shavuos Ha'Edus, Shavuos HaPikadon, all those things can be said in any language you want. You don't need to say it dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. V'kamar Nami, Shavuos HaDiyanim Afi B'Lashon HaNemra. So then the Braisa comes and adds in, not Shavuos HaDiyanim is also on the list. It also could be said in whatever language you want. It's interesting, the Rimi Gash holds that Shavuos HaDiyanim has to dafka be said in Lashon HaKodesh. The Rambam quotes Rabbosai, which it turns out is the Rimi Gash, as saying that it has to dafka be said b'lashon hakodesh. And all the achronim, the Kesef Mishnah asks against the Gemara. The Gemara says afi b'lashon nemra, it could be said in any language. When the Rambam quotes Rabosai, the Rambam historically, the Rambam died. The Rimigash died when the Rambam was 5 years old. But the Rimigash was the Rebbe of Maimon, so the Rambam considered the Rimigash to be his Rebbe by extension. The Rambam also did meet the Rimigash, and the legend has it that he got a major bracha from the Rimigash as the Rimigash was on his deathbed, and that made a tremendous impression on the little boy. The Rambam was 5 years old, and he saw the Rimigash on his deathbed, and he told him, "You're going to be a great person in Klal Yisrael." He gave him a special bracha, so it made a tremendous impression. So from then on, he always referred to the Rimigash as his Rebbe. But anyway, the Kesef Mishnah asks, so the Rimigash is against the Gemara. So Kesef Mishnah says probably what the Rimigash means is not that it's required min adin that it be b'lashon hakodesh, but mishum ulbuna d'daini, that it's embarrassing for the dayanim to have to resort to other languages. So it's better that the guy should know b'lashon hakodesh. Now obviously the key is that he should know what he's talking about. Meaning the point is, if he's going to take a shvua, you can't just take a shvua b'lashon hakodesh and then not know what you're saying. It's like there are lots of things. It's like doing bir chametz, a bitl chametz rather, why is bitl chametz in Aramaic? Because that was the spoken language, and you need to understand it. So some people, they open up the machzor, what does it say over here? And they'll just read what it says, kol chamira v'cham, and they have no idea what the words mean. Well, if you don't know what the words mean, if you think you're just stam, saying, okay, I hereby did bedika, or whatever, I don't know, whatever you think the words mean, so that's not enough. You should say it in English then. So, okay, yeah, obviously the ikur is you need to know what you're talking about. Okay, Amar Mar. The first thing we scared them with was we told them that the whole world shakes. When the whole world shook when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this Isser of Losisa. My time, why did the whole world shake dafka by that mitzvah, by that Isser? Even Mishum Tisyav B'Sinai, maybe you want to say, oh, it's because that was given at Har Sinai. Well, Asar Dibros Nami, the Ten Commandments were all given at Har Sinai. So that whole exchange is a little bit difficult to understand. What's the Havamina? That was given at Sinai? Kalatarukula? And then the answer is strange. Kalatarukula was given at Sinai. What do you mean Asar Dibros were given at Sinai? So, okay, so you could hold that Torah is Megillah Nitna. The Torah was given at certain, different mitzvos were given at different times. The ten that were definitely given at Sinai, or not ten mitzvos, but the ten dibros, were definitely given at Sinai. So the Gemara wants to focus on those Eser dibros. But it's still, the Havamin is very strange, because it's Yisyav at Sinai, of course. So that's a little bit strange. But anyway, I don't know what the answer. So anyway, so what is so special about Losisa? Vel Mishum Techamira. It's because it's very strict. Chamira, is that true? Vatnan Eluhim Kalos. What's the definition of a mitzvah kala? Asei velos asei chutz milosisa. Chamuros zukrisos misas bezin losisa imahen. That chamuros include losisa. It's true. It's a mitzvah chamura, but chamuros are all mitzvahs krisos misas bezin. It's not unique in that regard. So because it's a chamur, that's why the whole world shook. The whole world that didn't shake bechil Shabbos. El kedektani time of a kala ver shabatar nemer ben venakei mikan. No, the second thing that we scare him with by saying that by this mitzvah it doesn't say in the Vinakeh, it says Lo Yinakeh. That's why the world shook, because once you do it, that's it. You're never going to be cleansed of that avera. V'kal avera shabatara lo nemer behen lo yinakeh, v'aksiv v'nakeh lo yinakeh. Is that really true that by the other averas in the Torah it doesn't say lo yinakeh? What about the pasuk that says v'nakeh lo yinakeh by all averos? So mi bai leilch Rabbi Lazar. Now we use that to teach Rabbi Lazar's did. Hanya Rabbi Lazar omer, yef shalomer v'nakeh shekvar nemer lo yinakeh, yef shalomer lo yinakeh shekvar nemer v'nakeh. Haketzad, meaning the point is, the phrase v'nakeh lo yinakeh is a stira. It's self-contradictory. Vinakei means you will be cleansed. The lo yinakei means you will not be cleansed. So which is it? Minakahu l'shavim v'ena minakah l'she'enin shavim. No, what that means is that it will be those who do tshuva will be cleansed. Those who don't do tshuva won't be cleansed. But that's the point. That's by kol aver shabatorah. When it comes to sisa, it's only lo yinakei. Even with tshuva, it's lo yinakei. Kol aver shabatorah, the third thing we scared him with, we say, nifrad mimenu v'kad mimenu mishpachto. We tell him that normally other averos in the Torah, you get punished for over here. It's your whole family that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go after. V'kol aver shabatorah mimishpachto lo, is that true that other averos, the family doesn't suffer from the avera? V'aksiv v'samti espanai ba'ish ahu Ube mishpachto says explicitly your family as well. V'tanya Rabbi Shimon imhuchet mishpachto machatos, and Rabbi Shimon says, well, that's not fair. A guy does an avera, why should his whole family have to suffer? Lama l'cha in l'cha mishpacha sheyesh b'mochei shein kula mochsin. This teaches you what he sowed, that if there's a family that has some people that are mochsin, mochsin are literally tax collectors, but they used to be unethical tax collectors, not stam, a guy who's a tax collector who works for the IRS. We're talking about somebody who's unethical, takes more for himself than he should, but you don't have a family that has some guys that are mochsin and the rest of them aren't. They're all mochsin then. They're all involved some way in the crime. Rav Moshe has a tshuva whether you're allowed to work for the IRS. So he says yes in the end. But anyway, v'sheyesh b'listim shein kula listim. There's no family that has listim, that the whole family is not listim. Why? Because they cover for him. So you see that's why the whole family has to suffer. But the point is, the bottom line is over here, and that's what, where's that Gemara? The Gemara is at the end of, was it Bas Bilga, that the ring of the Bas Bilga was Kavua? Is it the end of some Masechta when you make a seam? that there was one family that the ring in the Beis Hamikdash was Kavua on the ground, and they couldn't open up the ring to help aid in the Shechita, and that was because one of the daughters from that family yelled at the Mizbeach. It's the end of Sukkah, right? I think it's the end of Sukkah. That one of the daughters from that family, okay, it's probably, one of the daughters from that family ended up yelling at the Mizbeach, and they said, why do we punish the whole family just because one kid did it? Because it doesn't happen, it doesn't grow up, so it doesn't happen out of nowhere. It happens only because she was raised in that kind of environment. Okay, so anyway, but the bottom line is we're bothered over here. We just said that only Lo Sisa, the whole family, gets punished for. Now we're saying the whole family gets punished for every Avera. So it says, no, Hasam Bedina Achrina, Hacha Bedina Didei. Now the point is, normally the family members are treated as accomplices to the crime. Over here by Lo Sisa, they're treated as the criminal himself. I might think that the entire family gets cut off. The rest of the family gets a lesser punishment. But by Lo Sisa, the whole family gets the same punishment. Then we scare the guy by telling him, as we said before, over here the whole world suffers for his Avera. By other averos, the whole world does not suffer from his avera. Isn't that the very concept of arevus kol yisrael arev mizebzeh, that we each suffer for the averos of everybody else, of every other member of klal yisrael? So says Gemara, hasam sheish biyadam limchas v'lo micho. Over there, we're talking about a situation where you have the ability to stop them from doing the avera, and you don't. That's where kol yisrael arev mizebzeh is going to matter. But if you didn't have the ability to stop the person, then Kol Yisrael Arevim is not going to be mechayev you for somebody else's averos. The Gemara does not answer that over here mishpacha includes women, over here Kol Olam Kulo includes women as well, whereas Kol Yisrael Arevim doesn't include women, because there is a Shitas HaRash like that in Maseches Brachos, where the Rush says that women are not Bechlal HaArvus, and some understand that it means women aren't Bechlal Arvus at all, that there is no concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim for women. But the Gemara doesn't give that answer. Why doesn't the Gemara give that answer? So Pashtus says, because the Rush never really said that. The Rush only, if you read the Rush carefully, said that women are not Bechlal the Arvus of mitzvos that they're not Mechuyiv in themselves. But any mitzvah that they are Mechuyiv in themselves, they are included in the Arvus. Anyway, what's the difference between Rishayim of your family and Rishayim of the rest of the world, between Tzadikim de Mishpachtel and Tzadikim de Alma, and between the Tzadikim of your family and Tzadikim of the rest of the world? If anyway, whenever you do an Avera, the whole world is going to be punished, and your family is going to be punished to a greater degree. So what's the difference between the Rishayim of at each level and Tzadikim at each level? Who b'shar Averos b'dinei? A person himself, by all other Averos, gets his own punishment that he deserves for the avera. Urishayim de mishpacha b'din chamor, and the rishayim of his family get a very severe punishment. Urishayim de alma b'din akal, and rishayim from outside the family get a very light punishment. But tzadiki d'ha'chavacha p'tiri. But by shar averos, the tzadikim of his family and the tzadikim of the rest of the world are off the hook. They don't get punished. Gabe shvua, but when it comes to shvua, who rishayim de mishpacha b'dinei k'dinei? He and the rishayim of his family get the din as if they are all the sinners themselves. Urishayim de Alma b'din chamor, and the Rishayim from outside his family get the din chamor, v'tzadiki da'acha da'acha b'din akal. And yes, tzadikim will suffer also because of harevos, but that's only b'din akal. They're going to get a much lighter punishment by Shavua. Fine. Imamar eini nishpa potro nosu miyad. If the guy says, I don't want to swear, so we let him out right away. V'imamar hareini nishpa, and if he says, I do want to swear, ha'omdim shama omrim zelizeh, the people there standing there say to each other, suru name alale anashim harashom eilu, let's get away from the tents of these wicked people. So bishlam, that we said before, that's just a direct quote from Amar Aleph. So bishlam, ha'udikam mishtaba kai bisura, ala hudikam mishtaba lei amai. Now what do they say? They don't say, let's get away from this Russia. They say, let's get away from these Rishayim. Makes it sound like not only the person who's taking the Shavua is considered a Rasha, the one who's being Mashbiahim is also a Rasha. So that's the matter, what did he do? He just wants to get his money back. So why is he a Rasha? Kintani Rav Shimon ben Tavran Omer, Shavuos Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneim, Melamed Shechala Shavua Al Shneim. The Shavua is Chal on both of them, and therefore by letting it get to the point where it's going to be a Shavua, they're both considered to be at fault, and they're both considered to be Rishayim. Says Rashi, yeah, but what did the guy do? What did the guy who's being... So Rashi says, because when you give money to people, make sure you give it to people you can trust. Because you shouldn't put your money with someone that you can't trust, and that, because you should know that that's going to lead to the Chilul Hashem of Shavua. Shavua is a terrible thing for it to lead to. You don't want it to lead to Shavua. So you have to be very careful with who you give your money to. So says Rashi. The Ritva just says, no, much more pashut. Why is it Mashbiah's fault? Some cases it's his fault, some cases it's the other guy's fault. Depends who's telling the truth. One of them is telling the truth, one of them isn't. So whoever's telling the truth, it's not his fault, it's the other guy's fault. So that's why they don't want to indict anyone, by saying, we're going to stay away from this Russia, that. No, so they say, we'll go away from these Rishayim. Amongst these guys, there's a Russia. And then Mashbiah, and they say, you should know, it's not on your own das, you're taking the Shavua, it's on our das, and das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do they have to say that? Mishum Kanya the Rava, because of the story of the Cain by Rava. Remember that story where someone owed money and he made him take a shvua that he already paid back. So while he took the shvua, he said, here, can you please hold my cane? And in the cane, he had the money. So he said, I take a shvua that I already gave back to him, because I did. He's holding my cane. And then he took the cane right back. I didn't even realize. So he said, no, it's not based on how you're defining the terms. It's how we're defining the terms of what's called paying back. Hatayna shtei kesef. So we said in the Mishnah, that in order to have a shvus modem mitzvahs, you have to make a taina on the other person for at least shtei kesef, and the hoda'a has to be for at least shavar pruta. Amarav kfiras taina shtei kesef. So Rav says, when we say taina shtei kesef, means the part that you deny has to be shtei kesef. It can't be the total claim against you shtei kesef, and then you deny a pruta. It has to be you deny shtei kesef worth, and you admit a pruta. Ushmol amar taina atzma shtei kesef. Shmol says, no, the whole taina is only shtei kesef. If you look kafar el pruta v'lahoda el pruta chayiv. Even if you only were kofar a pruta, or you're only moda in a pruta, as long as overall it adds up to shtei kesef, if you're going to be chayiv. The Mishnayos seem to support Rav, and the Psukim seem to support Shmuel. Seem to support, meaning it's not a checkmate, it's not like definite, but seem to lean in that direction. The Mishnah seems to support Rav. It says the taina shtei kesef, the hodah shav pruta, vil kfiris taina pruta lo ketani. Never says that the kfiras hatayna is a shavapruta, so it sounds like when it says hatayna shtei kesef, it means the kfiras hatayna shtei kesef. Because if the kfiras hatayna was a shavapruta, it should have been mentioned together with the hoda'a as things that are a pruta. Utna nami hoda'a bepruta, vil kfira bepruta lo katani, it says the hoda'a is supposed to be a pruta. It doesn't say the kfira has to be a pruta, so it sounds like the kfira is supposed to be shtei kesef. That's how the Mishnah supports Rav. Ukrai kavasid shmuel, the psukim support shmuel. The chsiv, because the pasuk says, ki yite nishal reo kesef. Of a kelim l'shmar, ma kelim shnayim af kesef shnayim, ma kesef davar chashuv af kol davar chashuv. So it's got to be two, and it's got to be davar chashuv. The kamar achmana kiuzeh, and the pasuk says kiuzeh, talking about a shvus mother mikzas. V'rav, what's Rav going to do with that pasuk? That's good. That's needed to teach me the very din of modem mitzvahs. Ushmuel, and Shmuel will say ksiv hu, ksiv zeh. It says hu and it says zeh. The kafar b'mitzvahs, v'odi b'mitzvahs, chayiv. To tell me that if you're kofar some and you're moda some from amongst the total of Shtei Kesef, but not that you need to be kofar Shtei Kesef entirely. So that's itself, that's the chiv of Shvu'ud Madam Mitzvahs. For Rav, Chad Lo Dabi Mitzvahs Taina, V'Chad Lo Dabi Mina Taina. Rav is going to say, no, one of those words teaches me you need to be Madam Mitzvahs, the other teaches me that the Madam Mitzvahs has to be Mimina Taina, which was the din we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. If someone says, you owe me 10 CDs, you can't say, no, I only borrowed one chicken from you. Those are two totally different things, and you can't, that's not called Madam Mitzvahs. So Shmuel, Lav Mele Sham Mina Dechasra La Taina. So Shmuel says, no, we that part we know on our own, because if obviously he's claiming something from you, so obviously the Mimin HaTayna part we know on our own. We don't need an extra pasuk to teach me the Mimin HaTayna part. Okay, the Gemara will continue to discuss how Rav deals with the pasukim of Shmuel.